Well, do keep that passage open in front of you as we continue our series in the book of Daniel. Let us pray before we look again at God's word. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us this morning as it was read. And we pray that as we look again at this passage, you would open our eyes to see the God who saves. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was a sunny afternoon in Sydney and I was helping friends clean up their backyard. Their backyard was overgrown with large privet trees. Weeds that were so big, they were trees. And of course, there were the other shrubby weeds as well. The vegetation was so thick and it was such hard going that at one point I chose to climb on a fence to clear something away. And I looked at the fence, it was an old wooden paling fence, and I thought, yeah, that looks solid enough. And I jumped up on the fence and I started working away, and you can probably guess what's going to happen next. The fence collapsed and I fell. Now, the truly bad thing was that as I fell, unfortunately, I wasn't fast enough because one of the palings beat me to the ground and landed rusty nail up. And so I landed on the paling and impaled myself on the nail. Now, you could probably work out, because the fact that I'm standing in front of you, that I survived, and my friends immediately came to my aid. It was just a flesh wound. And because they were doctors, they immediately gave me a free tetanus shot, which I really appreciated. I got impaled twice. But as I lay there, I realised that I shouldn't have trusted the fence to hold me up. The object of my trust was wrong. I should have trusted something a lot more solid. You know, like the ground, for instance, would have been a much better choice. The object of my trust was wrong. Well, in this very famous story, we see some of the key themes of the book of Daniel repeated for us again. Just in case we didn't get it the first time or the fifth time, we get it again here in Daniel 6. And one of those issues that keeps coming up in the book of Daniel is the issue of wisdom. And the issue is, who has real wisdom? And as we look at this story, there are three possible options as to who has real wisdom. The first one is the king. And the king would probably think that he's the wise person because, well, he runs the country. Okay, that's a pretty good thing to have on your CV, that you run the greatest empire of the ancient Near East at the time. But the king, as we read the story, is tricked by the satraps and administrators pretty easily. And so he doesn't look, in the end of the story, like he's got real wisdom. Now, the second group of people who would say that they're wise are the administrators and the satraps themselves. They're the ones who trick the king, and he's the one who runs the country, so surely they're the wisest people. They're also the educated elite of the great Persian Empire. So, you know, that tends to lead you to think that you're the wise ones. But the problem is they end up being eaten by the lions. So obviously they're not as high on the food chain as they thought they were. So who is the one who has real wisdom? Well, the answer we see in the book is obviously Daniel. And the funny thing is, Daniel doesn't do anything particularly clever or particularly tricky in the story. All he does is faithfully do what he knows God wants him to do. That is, to pray to God rather than pray to the king as God. In some sense, then, you could say We've seen it a few times in Daniel, that faithfulness to God is real wisdom. That's what's real wisdom. And friends, the question of who has real wisdom is important for us today as well. There are those in our society who would tell us that they are the wise ones. They could be our rulers, be they federal or state or local. Or they could be the media, the academics, the famous, you know, the ones with all the followers on their YouTube channel or Instagram feed. But the example of Daniel is that real wisdom is not to be found in those places. They aren't the ones who are really wise. Real wisdom is found in faithfulness to God. For God is the only one, really, who has wisdom. And so the smart move is to lean on His wisdom, to be faithful to the Bible, because that is His word. Another key theme that we've been seeing again and again through the book of Daniel has been the lack of power of human kings and rulers. First, it was the Babylonian kings, and now a Persian king has shown up. But throughout this story, the great ruler of the known world is shown to be powerless. First, he's trapped by his own law. Then he impotently frets in the palace while Daniel's fate is decided. And once again, we have a king who is so troubled he cannot even sleep. The most powerful ruler of the world, and he can't even get to sleep. Friends, we often think that those in power can make a difference, that they make the big decisions and that they run everything. All too often, they are as powerless as we are. Now, this is especially the case in democratic countries where our leaders often seem driven by opinion polls, focus groups, and marginal seats. And they don't rule even the way they want to rule. But it's even the case in other countries that are not democratic, where rulers are often led by demographic changes and by the state of the country that they are ruling, rather than by what they want to see happen. They aren't as powerful as they seem. And under God, we can make just as much difference in the world where we have been placed by God as they can. The humble person trusting God and following Him is just as significant in God's economy, in God's world. Because in the end, it is God who decides what happens. Now, a third theme of Daniel that we've been following all the way through is also present in this story, and that is the ever-present pressure to conform to the host culture. The king's decree gives Daniel the choice. He can conform or he can die. Not much of a choice, is it? It's the ultimate pressure to conform. It's as if Daniel has a gun to his head, and if he obeys God, then someone is going to pull the trigger and he will die. It is the ultimate pressure to conform. But amazingly, we see Daniel choose to be faithful and die rather than conform and compromise. Now, normally in Australia, you might have noticed, we're not faced with quite so stark a choice. There are very few people who look at us and say, conform or die. In fact, it doesn't really happen, does it? We might find ourselves with less stark choices, like conform or be unpopular, or conform or lose that promotion, or conform or lose that business, or conform or lose those friends. We are faced with smaller decisions in one sense, but they are nonetheless real. And we can follow Daniel and his friends and their example of courage and conviction. And if we do, we might realize afresh that we serve the God who saves. The same God that Daniel served. Let's look again at the passage in verse 16. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Daniel is pictured here as being completely helpless. He is condemned to death. He's thrown into the lion's den, and just so he doesn't escape, he's sealed in. He is helpless in the face of death. And to give you an idea of just how helpless Daniel is, just imagine for a moment that there was a bookie, an ancient equivalent of a bookie, running odds on his chances of surviving the night. Wonder what odds the bookie would give. Wonder what that would, how high would the odds go? And no matter how high the odds would go, would anyone actually take the bookie on and bet on Daniel surviving the night? Somehow I doubt it, because it looks like certain death at this point. It looks like this is going to be Daniel's last meal, and he's the main course. Daniel is helpless in the face of death. But Daniel serves the God who saves. And so in verse 19, we read this. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." Daniel is both saved and vindicated by God. First of all, he's saved. He's not the lion equivalent of lunch or breakfast. He is alive. He is saved. But secondly, and just as importantly, he is vindicated by God. You notice the part there which says, "I was found innocent in his sight." Daniel is pointing to the fact that his being alive is a miracle that only God could do. And as God is just, he doesn't spare guilty men. He must therefore be innocent, for God has spared him. So Daniel's deliverance is also his vindication, which is rather important because it means they won't throw him into the next lion's pit or find some other way to kill him. But why is Daniel saved? Well, the answer lies in verse 23. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. This is the point that the writer of Daniel wants us to get to in this account. It is the key implication of Daniel's experience in first Babylon and now the Persian Empire, which has replaced Babylon. Daniel trusted in his God. And there's two key points for us. The first is that Daniel trusted. When faced with death, Daniel trusted rather than conformed. He chose to put his very life in the hands of God. That's trust. The second thing is that Daniel trusted in his God. That is, Daniel's trust was in the right object. He didn't trust in the gods of the Babylonians and the Persians, the false gods that aren't really there. He trusted in the God of Israel, the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is there and the God who saves. And friends, the great news for us, thousands of years after Daniel, is that he is still the God who saves. Come with me to Romans chapter 5 if you've got a Bible open. Romans chapter 5, I'll read you verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We read here that God is still the God who saves. Just like Daniel, we were powerless and facing death. But by faith in the God who saves, or we could say, or trust in Jesus' death for us, we have been saved from a fate that is worse than hungry lions. And that is God's anger and his just judgment on us. Trust is still the key to salvation. And the object is still the same. It's the same God. Daniel's God is our God. The God of Israel who sent his Son to take the punishment for us. The Lord. And that same God sent Jesus to die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sin. And then, as we saw last week at Easter, raised Jesus to life again and vindicated him. The key to salvation is to trust in Jesus, God's way of salvation. Only by trusting in Jesus will we escape God's just judgment and experience heaven. So have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you put your trust in Jesus? If you say, yes, I have, then friends, know that you are saved. Just like Daniel, you will escape judgment. And heaven is yours because you have trusted in the right thing. The God who saves, and his way of salvation, faith in his Son Jesus. Just as he saved Daniel, so he will save you on the last day through Jesus. That is great news. Rejoice in your salvation. Revel in your salvation that you have through the God who saves. But friends, if you're someone who's sitting here today or listening online and you haven't put your trust in Jesus, then know that you are powerless without Jesus. Just like Daniel, you cannot save yourself. You cannot make yourself enter heaven. That is God's to give. And if you continue to not trust Jesus, then you will die. That is sadly a statistic that we all still have to face. There is no way out of that. And then stand before your Maker and face judgment. The only way that God has provided as a way out is to trust in Jesus. And so, friends, the choice is yours. You can choose to trust Jesus and live forever with him in heaven. Or you can choose not to and face God's just judgment for eternity. The choice is yours. Trust Jesus or face judgment. What will you choose? What will you choose? Friends, let me encourage you that if that's you today, then choose wisely. Choose wisely. And if you need to ask more questions or do more investigation, do that. Don't just leave it for another time, but actually go and do that. And if you need help in doing that, then come and ask for that help. We can help with that. In fact, we run whole courses just to help people with that. But don't just sit on it. For without Jesus, you are powerless to reach heaven. That's the harsh reality, in one sense. Let me ask you this morning to choose wisely. And maybe just choose Jesus and live. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Daniel, that all those years ago, he chose wisely and trusted you, the God who saves, rather than conforming and trusting the gods of the Babylonians or the Persians or even the king. Thank you that he chose to trust you and that you delivered him in a way that's not just saved his life but vindicated him. Thank you for the encouragement that that gives us. And thank you that the Lord Jesus came and died so that we who are powerless in our sin and unable to work our way to heaven have a way out, an escape hatch. Thank you that when we trust in Jesus, we are forgiven and saved, and that we will enjoy heaven forever with you. And we pray that we would take this to heart, and that all of us would trust Jesus and live with you forever. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.